Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little further, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So, could you not stay awake with 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, you will be done." Again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Now the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. Look, my betrayer is at hand." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jerry. And oh, it's good to have the choir back. And that was a tough act to follow. You were brave to follow the children's bells. Will you pray with me, please? Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts, that they might be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I am a Michigan girl just through and through, and I love everything about Michigan's seasons, every season, really each and every one. And anytime I have been away from Michigan, particularly as seasons are changing, I have this great longing to be back in Michigan. And so it's great to feel a little of that fall coming in. And even though we're not supposed to have favorite children, I love autumn best. Right? Fall is just special, right? I mean, the amazing display of colors as the leaves start to change, and that invigorating sound of football games and marching bands that just sounds like fall, and eventually the way the leaves crunch underfoot as they turn brown in age. And there's that sort of that let's get back to business sensibility. Like after the summer fun and frolicking, I know the Her girls are saying, "No, keep summer, we had so much fun." But after all that fun and frolic, there's some sensibility about getting back to business and going back to school and finding our normal schedules. And while perhaps it feels a little bit off to say welcome home to all of those who've been here every week, every season, all the time, still, this is the time of year to say welcome home. Right? Some people coming back from cottages or travel, some people joining new and being invited into a new beginning of things. It's always easier to come into things at the new beginnings, a new year, new opportunities, new plans. And so no matter what your tenure is with the church here in this church home, the reality is we all feel that special newness of a year's beginning. And so we are different. We are at home here differently again. So friends, all of you, welcome home. And as we said earlier during our worship sermon series, you're not here by accident, right? You are here at God's invitation. And I hope that you feel seen and heard and loved, and today and always, whether you are in person or online, it is good to be here with you. Now, we did do our worship sermon series for a while, and we talked about what happens in here and the why that we do the things that we do. And we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about what here is. What is this place that we call home? And we'll be in the sermon series for a little bit. What kind of home is this? What do we as Christians do that create home, a place of belonging, of connection, a place where everyone is equally welcome, warts and all? And I know everybody has a wart or two, right? And life is good and God is good all the time. Now, I was actually connected with this sermon series early on in the summer, and I've thought about it on and off through the past months. And after praying and discerning, I felt led to reach out to the good folks at the National Community Church in the heart of Washington, D.C. And they're the folks that created this particular series and these sermon titles. And so I sent an email to the lead pastor, who's probably a really busy man, Dr. Mark Batterson, last week. And I asked permission to use the series title and the sermon titles and the scriptures that they had used. And do you know that gentleman responded the very next day to me and not only said absolutely, but copied all of his creative staff and said, give this woman whatever she needs, give this. And they responded in a minute and said, what do you need? And here's the Dropbox and all this stuff. I mean, that's a response of welcome, right, in a moment. So a big thanks to Pastor Mark and the really kind folks at National Community Church. And the ideas of places of worship being known as a place to call home is not new at all, of course. The Israelites talked about the house of the Lord. Let us go to the house of the Lord way back in time. And in Psalms 92:13, it says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like the cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. Now that word flourish, it comes from a Hebrew word, eventually the word Hebrew word parak, which means to bud, right? To open up, to blossom, profusely even, to sprout, right? To grow. So the way that you will know if you are in the house of the Lord, in a house that belongs to the Lord, is based on that truth, that in the house of the Lord, the righteous grow. Like cedars of Lebanon, they flourish. So how's your blossom meter doing these days? Right? You feel growth and opportunity. So welcome home to this place that God puts fertilizer into the soil of your life, and you grow. You flourish. You change in that growth. Right? You produce God-shaped fruits in the experiences of your life. And today, in the first of this series, we want to look at the main ingredient, or perhaps better said, the primary foundation that makes this so, that makes this place the house of the Lord and a home for all. And that primary foundation of all that we do is prayer. Right? Conversation with the one who created all that is and who created you and me. It's prayer. Prayer is our highest privilege. To be people who pray is our highest privilege. We get to talk to the Almighty, and it is our greatest responsibility to do so. Now, I'm praying for and with the church. I pray that all of you are praying alongside that, that this will be a place where the Lord is found, and that you will flourish as you plant yourself in the soils of this house. And I do ask you to join, and I'll commit to that prayer, to pray every day that this church will be a house of the Lord and that you and all who come here will flourish. That is through our prayers that God works in the soil of our life, establishes your root systems, and sometimes that means we go through hard times, right? But during those hard times, God is working in that soil, making our roots stronger. And from those strong roots, we flourish. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like the cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. Now, those cedars of Lebanon, some of you may have studied them before, read about them, and we're to grow in that same way. Right? It takes 30 years for the root systems of cedars of Lebanon to get established. 30 years. But once that happens, they can start growing 15 feet per year. Their trunks can grow to 6 feet in diameter. And they can get up to 120 feet tall. That's a lot of flourishing. Trustees, we're going to need more space if we're flourishing around here like that. Right? For this place that we call Adrian First United Methodist Church to be a house of the Lord, it means that we are a house of prayer. God said, my house will be called the house of prayer. And God is saying to us right now that if we are a house of prayer, if we will prioritize prayer and organize around prayer, then God will turn this house of prayer into a house of healing, into a house of miracles, into a house where our dreams do come true as we dare to dream them. Now, we started scripturally at the end of the day, didn't we? Reading scripture not from the beginning of Jesus' life, but from quite near the end. Jesus has taken his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there to pray. So Jesus needed to pray. He needed to talk with God. He needed to go over there to pray in that beautiful place called Gethsemane. So when, my friends, is it that you need to pray? And when you do, where is it that you pray? When and where do you pray? Because, friends, without a when and a where, you most likely have a not much. Right? When and where do you pray? Now, Jesus tended to pray early in the morning and later in the evening. It was just sort of his style. And he often withdrew to a place, to a different place. He climbed mountains. He walked by waters. He utilized the spirituality of geography. Right? Maybe somewhat like Dawn's morning walks with the flora and the fauna and taking photos. Like maybe there's prayer in there, sharing that moment of prayer with all of us. Finding prayer through the created space of God's world. And if you have a place you can go and a walk you can take or a trail that you can follow for your prayer time, then commit to finding that time and getting to that place and being with God. But if your life is just so busy that the best you can do is kneel at your bedside, then do that. Make that sacred space a routine for you. Susanna Wesley, the mother of Methodism, mother of John and Charles, she had a lot of kids. And they lived in this tiny home. And maybe Christy went to the old rectory while she was out. Didn't make it to the old rectory. She said, you got to go back, right? And in the old rectory, you can still see her rocking chair. Because this very busy mother in a very busy home with lots of children, and she was faithful in prayer, her prayer space was this rocking chair prayer desk where she would put a blanket over herself and make her own prayer closet, right? That was the best her schedule allowed. And so she went over there, separated herself, and prayed faithfully there. Now, I know that we also, as God's people, we pray without ceasing. The Spirit prays within us all the time, as is our Christian belief. But we also need the places that are separated for us, places we go, that help flip the switch for us so we can enter into that sense of sacred space and we pray differently. Now, here's the thing. Prayer is the difference between doing the best that you can do and the best that God can do. Right? Prayer is the difference between letting things happen and making things happen through Jesus Christ. And it's the difference between us fighting for God versus God fighting for us. Now, we have coming up in a few weeks a study on the Lord's Prayer being led by the prayer team. And that study on the Lord's Prayer, it isn't for someone else. It isn't for someone else here in the room. It's for you, right? It's to remind us what Jesus had in mind when he taught others how to pray. If you can't go in person, it'll meet Thursday at 10 a.m. If you can't meet in person, we'll give you a link to do it on your own. Be reminded of what Jesus told his disciples to do in prayer. And being part of a prayer group, a group that meets and intentionally prays, it isn't for someone else. It isn't for someone else sitting nearby. It's for you. Right? When we all gather to pray, God pours out God's Spirit, and new things are birthed. God's kingdom comes. God's will is done. It happens through our prayers and when we pray together. And being one of the prayer warriors of the church, those people who get the prayer requests and pray deeply for all the things that you allow us to share publicly, it's not for someone else, it's for all of us to be prayer warriors. For the people here in the body and for those that we become aware of their needs. Prayer is our highest privilege and our greatest responsibility. Right? Now we will begin a daily live stream of prayer time beginning next week or maybe the next, depending on my schedule to get it going. It'll be every day at 7:30 on Facebook. Just 10 minutes of intentional gathering, clearing our heads, having some prayer, and moving into our day. What is your when and your where for your prayer time? 2 Chronicles 7 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will heal their land, and I will forgive their sin. And so we pray, and we will pray. We will commit to our where and our when, and we will join with others in this community and the communities beyond us in gathered prayer to pray for our community, country, and our world. Jesus withdrew about a stone's throw beyond the disciples, and he knelt down and he prayed. He was in agony, and it says Jesus prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as drops of blood falling to the ground. Now, there are many ways to pray, and as unique as each person in the room and as our personalities are, and some of us pray more like the Message Bible prayers, and some of us more like the King James Bible prayers. It's all very unique to what works in your spirit. But Jesus went over there a stone's throw away, and he was in agony, and he broke a sweat while he prayed. And when was the last time you prayed with that intensity? How about your prayers for mental wellness in the world, or for those with addictions, or those who are have challenging diagnoses in life? When was the last time you broke a sweat when you prayed in that intensity, that something mattered so much to you? Or praying for peace for the world, or unity for our country? When was the last time you broke a sweat in your prayers? Prayer is our highest privilege and our greatest accountability, our greatest responsibility. It is good to be in a kinship of praying with all of you.